and receive instruction, encouragement, and daily direction in our lives. Now here to help tune you in is Paul Esposito.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, All Truth, All the Time. This is your host and speaker. I'm Dr. Paul Esposito, and I thank you for joining us here today, friends. God bless you. Thank you for taking 30 minutes of your day to join me as we together study the Word of Almighty God. We're in the middle of a sermon here. We just started on Friday. We're in the book of Revelation here on WGOD. We're listening in on Revelation, and then occasionally the sermons that I'm preaching at Island Community Church every Sunday morning. And on Sundays, matter of fact, just yesterday, we started a brand new book, and that is in 1 John. And that's an awesome book, power-packed, full of great stuff. So you'll be hearing that sermon series interspersed here with the book of Revelation on WGOD. That's where we're going to be for the next couple weeks or so. So glad you're along for the ride. Glad you've joined us today. We just started the first of seven churches. Imagine that, you being a pastor of a church and you get a letter from Jesus in the mail. And you read the letter and he says to you, there's one thing you lack. Or else he says to you, you just make me want to vomit. Who wants to receive that letter? That's what we're at. We are eavesdropping in on somebody else's mail. Seven churches. Of course, there was a lot more than seven. It's just seven is symbolic here in the book of Revelation. Some people think the seven churches represent the church age, and I can see that, because why only seven? There were so many more than seven churches 2,000 years ago in that area. So that's where we're at here. This is part two, the last part of this message. We're going to pick it up here right when the Lord commends them for testing those that said they were apostles and are not. So we're going to get into that here today, starting with the question, obvious question. Well, how would you test them? How would you test someone today who says that they were an apostle? That's where we're at here today. Enjoy today's message, and we'll be back tomorrow with our opening series here, the opening sermon in the book of 1 John.
Okay, lastly, maybe they failed the prosperity test, as I like to call it. 1 Corinthians 4, verses 9 through 13. 1 Corinthians 4, for I think that God has displayed us, apostles, as last, as men condemned to death. For we have been made, listen to these words, this is what describes an apostle of Jesus Christ. We are men condemned, we are as men condemned unto death. We have been made a spectacle to the world, both to angels and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake. We are weak, but you are strong. You are distinguished. We are dishonored. To this present hour, we both hunger and thirst. We're poorly clothed, beaten, and homeless. We labor, working with our own hands. Being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we endure. Being defamed, we entreat. We have been made as the filth of the world and are the offscouring of all things until now. And you want to be an apostle. There's a list of 13 things. Spectacle, fools, weak, dishonored, hungry, thirsty, poorly clothed, beaten, homeless, hated, persecuted, and lastly, the filth of the world. This is what an apostle looked like. An apostle was homeless with a bashed-in head. That's what he looked like. Didn't drive a Cadillac and have gold rings. He was homeless. He was naked. He had nothing. And they strung most of them up on a cross or skinned them alive and fed them to the lions. And you're an apostle? Now, Jesus said, you tested these who said they are apostles, and you found out that they weren't. They weren't getting healed in these guys' shadows. Now they were well-schooled in Ephesus. 30 years earlier, the pastor or the messenger of this church was a young man named Timothy. And right after this letter, the apostle John himself lived in Ephesus, and he ministered to the people. All right, verse 3, and more commendation. You have persevered and have patience, and you've labored for my name's sake. And you've not become weary. You see, the Lord recognizes all the hard work that you do for his name's sake. Paul wrote, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing your labor is not in vain in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:58. The Lord Jesus is watching. Your labor is not in vain. Again, the Apostle Paul says, let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we will reap if we do not lose heart. Okay, what are the Lord's complaints against the Ephesian church? Verse 4 starts with the word, nevertheless. I've got this against you, that you've left your first love. And their first love was what or whom? Missions? Outreach? Vacation Bible school? Evangelism? No, someone just said it over here. There's a person. The first love was Jesus. They lost their young, exciting love they had for their Savior. 30 years had passed since the Apostle Paul started this church. If you're not careful, the passage of time can lead to you leaving not only your first love, but your second love. That's these other things. And your third love, too, maybe people. Keeping your first love vibrant requires work. Work on your part. Any married person here can relate to that? Keeping any love vibrant, for that matter, requires work. We observe the Lord's Supper here every month. I think that helps if we do it rightly. But let's forever remember our prior condition, BC, before Christ, and all the Lord has done. Adrian Rogers says, if you don't love the Lord as much as you did the day that you were saved, then you've backslidden. If you don't love the Lord Jesus Christ as much today as you do the day that you were saved, then you've backslidden. And this was the case here in Ephesus. Now in verse 5 comes the solution. Not from a self-help book. Not from a friend. Not from your mother. Not from your best friend. But from the Son of God. Look at the first word of verse 5. It says what? Remember. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. And repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand. Unless if you repent. Three things there. Remember and repent and the threat. Remember, repent, or else. Remember how it used to be in your life. Repent and make it right. Or else, remember, he's talking to the pastor. He's addressing the pastor. Get back to doing how you were doing it before. Get on your knees as a church and as a pastor. Repent. Or else. Your lampstand's gone, and I won't be walking in the midst of your lampstand anymore, because it'll be gone. I won't hear your prayers anymore. The church won't be in my hands anymore. If you lose and forget love and your love for him, remember how it used to be. He's dictating this letter to the pastor, the one who's just been threatened. Man, oh man, you read this stuff and you stuff that letter back in your envelope and you put it back on the pastor's desk, don't you? And you're gone out of town when you read that one. Repent, make it right, or else. Whoop! Let's put this letter back. I think the pastor's coming here soon. I'm getting out of Dodge. I've read enough of this letter. Once it gets difficult, you don't want to read anymore. Repent. Church-wise, perhaps it's like this. Remember, therefore, from where? Interesting, the first edition, which I have here, a very first edition of the New King James. For whatever reason, the translators put in here, and I don't know why they did it. I went in to look. It says, remember from what you have fallen. And I find that interesting. Remember from what you have fallen from instead of where. And I wonder why they chose that word. Remember from what you have fallen. This was like the First Baptist Church at Ephesus. And as you walk into the foyer, can't you see it? Remember from where you have fallen. You walk into the foyer, and there's a picture of our founder, St. Paul the Apostle. Then there's another picture that says our first pastor, St. Timothy. Then you keep on walking, and there's another picture that says our current bishop, none other than the apostle whom Jesus loved. That's the Apostle John. How is that for a reputation? That's what they had going on in this church. That he says, man, you got to repent or else remember from where you have fallen. When Paul started this church, when Timothy was pastor of it, when John was leading it, remember from where you have fallen and repent. Make it right. How is that for a reputation? Again, you had everything you needed. This church had everything. Remember how it used to be and repent and make things right. Remember all that the Lord has done for you in your life. Remember all the Lord has done for you, everyone here in this church and on the radio. Remember all the Lord Jesus has done for you. Remember all the Lord Jesus has done to you. Is anyone here better off now than before when they weren't saved? Stop and think for a minute of all the Lord has done for you in your life. Are you grateful? Are you still as passionate as you used to be? Remember all the Lord has done through you too. Think back and remember. And repent. Leave it all here this morning before you leave today. Leave it all here. That's all you got to do. That's his instruction to this group. They were doing a lot of things right, but they didn't love the Lord like they used to. And he said, just leave it all here. Just repent. I didn't die in vain. Just repent and leave it here. And now he's actually going to give them one more praise before he puts his John Hancock on this. You know, I wonder what a John Hancock would be before John Hancock. Remember the big swirly name on the Declaration of Independence? John Hancock. I wonder what it looked like before him. What would it be for Jesus? I am. That's how he signed it. Right? That's it. Repent or else. I am. That's his signature. Beat that, John Hancock. I am. But this you have, here's another commendation. This you have, you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. There's something else Jesus hates. He hates it when people put up with evil and don't lift a finger. And he hates it when people endures the deeds of the Nicolaitans. Now, history has it, the Nicolaitans were offshoots of one of the very first deacons you'll find in the Bible in Acts chapter 6. You read about the apostles were too busy. There was too much on them, so they elected a bunch of deacons to help them. One of them was a man named Nicholas. Now, as history has it, this man fell away from the faith and started his own group. Nicolaitans. Also, according to some of the ancient church fathers, two of them in particular, the main one, his name was Irenaeus, way back in that time. He lived in like 185. Irenaeus said that Nicholas and the Nicolaitans were preaching compromise. This is why he hated them so much. Compromise. That is blending Christianity and occult paganism. Such as, remember in Ephesus, they had a statue there of someone named Artemis or Diana. Now here, this guy here, Nicholas, was preaching these two groups coming together in order not to make anyone mad and appease everyone. Compromise. Blending Christianity and occult paganism. Worshipping Artemis and Jesus. And Jesus said that he hated this. He hates it when Christ followers try to compromise in order to not be persecuted by the local people in the town. He hates it when Christians compromise not to be persecuted by those that are in authority. He hates it when you compromise as a church by allowing sexual immorality into the church in order to blend in with society. He hates it when you compromise by ordaining gays and lesbians and putting them into the ministry. The Lord Jesus hates this. He hates it when you blend, into society to get along with everyone. Because the Word of God says, 2 Corinthians 6:17, the last verse I added on the handout, it says, come out from among them and be ye separate, and touch not what is unclean, and I will receive you. Jesus isn't calling you to blend in with society. He's calling you to come out of it. That's what the word church means. Ecclesia. Ek means out. Klesis means called. This is what the church is. He's called you out of that lifestyle into something else and doesn't want you to pollute yourself with the evils of this world. This is why he hates the deeds of the Nicolaitans. He's called you to live a righteous life, not to compromise. He doesn't want you to compromise. That's why he hates it. Your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. Why pollute it? He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him that overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. My Bible says, the midst of the paradise of my God. And there it is. Finally, after thousands and thousands of years, the Bible in its very last book joins with the very first book. You see that? It's like a train leaving the station. You come to Exodus, it goes off in 64 different directions. And now in the book of Revelation, they all come together again. Here's the tree of life. Hasn't been seen since Genesis chapter 2. 65 books later, at the very end, here it is again. Here it is again. It's the tree of life. It's back on the scene again. And our Lord gives us a conditional promise. That is, to him who overcomes. That is, to him, he, her, all those that cross the finish line in faith, in Jesus' name. to him that overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life. Hasn't been seen since Adam and Eve were kicked out. After all these years, the promise is to everyone that overcomes. It's a conditional promise. It's conditional on you crossing the finish line in faith. In faith. Like maybe your spouse has, or your mother, and your father, and all those we read about in the Book of Martyrs, all those that crossed the finish line in faith. Next week when we get to Smyrna, we're going to look at Polycarp, the old 90-year-old guy they tried to kill and make him say, Caesar is Lord. We're going to look at how he crossed the line, the finish line in faith next week. But this is a conditional promise. To him that overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life. Who here would like to eat from that tree? Amen. Now, this letter might be written to someone else, but the promise is eternal for all who read. To him that overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life. And that is what this pastor's mail looked like. Again, next week, the persecuted church at Smyrna. Let me ask, have you left your first love? When we sang the songs this morning, were you singing with the same zeal you did when you first were saved? Do you still have the same zeal you had than when you first became a Christian? If not, remember and repent. Remember and repent. Let's pray. Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord God Almighty, we pray together.
We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio. And on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time.
Crucify the Son of God, 'cause he isn't who I always thought. Not what I want, but what I needed. I sing how great and mighty is the King, just as long as he considers me high above every other thing, even his glory. Broken like a record spinning round and round like a hurricane. I pour out water, then I disappear. Reappearing when I fear enough or need a touch from you.
How could he have the audacity to ask me to give him my tomorrow? Broken like a record, spinning round and round like a hurricane. I crawled out of water, then I disappeared. Reappearing when I fear enough, or need a touch.
Brevard's home for the very best in contemporary Christian music. 91.5 FM, WMIE.
You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Rockledge, Melbourne, and the Beaches, and W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira.